Our second scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 17 through 14. Jesus has just been asked to come by Mary and Martha to heal their brother Lazarus. Please listen for God's word. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister, Mary, and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep. When Mary came there where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "But Lord, he's already been in the tomb for 4 days. There will be a stench." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've had my first experience of grief recently, real grief. My mom, who some of you have met, died on February 11th. We had a long and sometimes uncomfortable relationship, but it has been very difficult as we were also very close. I've learned that the book learning I did in seminary, though very useful, was very different now that I am in the place of the one who is mourning. So, in order to deal with my mourning, I did what I always do, I studied. But this time from the perspective of the mourner. I first went to the Gold Standard of Grief Work, The stage is conceptualized and written about by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She has five stages of grief: denial, thinking that this really hasn't happened; anger, being angry that the person has died; bargaining with Jesus to wonder if they could be cured; depression, being very sad; and acceptance at the end, accepting that death is a part of life. When we suffer loss, we can go through these stages in any order, and even skip some stages and stay longer in others. I found myself lingering in the depression stage, as I deal with depression anyway, so it's not surprising that I would stay there longer. I figured, since I will go through these stages anyway, what difference does it mean if I'm a Christian and mourning? I wondered, what key element is missing in my grief and mourning if all I do is go through Kubler-Ross's stages? What was missing is lament, expressing my feelings to God. It is so important to express lament. Lament is a gift from God. The placement of the Book of Lamentations in the Old Testament is an example of this gift. The word lament in Hebrew means how. In the Book of Lamentations, the people are grieving the destruction of the temple from the Babylonians in 586 BCE. It is thought that the writer of the books was Jeremiah, although there is some question about that. The people are crying, how? How could God let the Babylonians destroy their sacred temple? There's five chapters in this book, and each chapter is a poem of lament. Therefore, the book does not end the same as our psalm we read today, because at the end of the Book of Lamentations, the temple had not yet been rebuilt. So the people in that book, in the city of Jerusalem, were in terrible pain that their temple had not been rebuilt, and they were uncertain whether God was going to help them or not. Even though the origin of lament is about the destruction of a temple, we can experience the blessing from lament because we know, as Christians, that God is hearing our cries and he is helping us with his compassion. If we grieve, we mourn, showing ourselves and even those we know that we are in pain, and what happens? Hopefully, we have some people supporting us, but not everyone does. Some people find great loneliness and grief and even discouragement. Certainly, I have gone through lonely places in my grieving of my mom. I try to follow the message of David as he ends his psalm with trust and grace that God always hears him. Everyone grieves differently, and grief can last a week, a few months for some, and even years for others. And we can get stuck in it. However long we've been grieving without honest lament to our loving, accepting, and compassionate God, it is quite possible to get stuck in grief longer than we need to. It is possible that when our friends get busy and their lives continue, even though our heart still aches, we can get caught in a grief rumination. So it is important to lament, to find the grace that God is offering us. One way is that it is a tool to navigate our pain. We can focus our hurt and ask for God's grace and become less stuck. We can petition God to deliver us from our distress. We know that God already understands how we feel and what our grief is like for us. But God wants to hear from us anyway. It says in Scripture, "Seek first his kingdom and all we ask will be given to us. He wants us to reach out and connect. And finally, lament helps us process our pain, and it leads to our trust in God. God doesn't get busy and leave us even when our best friends do. This, my friends, is the grace in lament. God gave us a way to show our feelings, express our pain and anger and loneliness, and be listened to and blessed for it. In today's Psalm 13, we have a great example of David as he cries out his pain to God. How in his case he fears his enemies, but the pain is the same. I am hurting, God. Help me. He is grieving his circumstances and lamenting the current time as he may be in grieving for the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of independence, and even the loss of children as an empty nester or a partner as in our normal couple's relationship. And in the story of the family of Lazarus, we have many examples of lament. Some of the feelings are sadness and loneliness. We see in the story of Lazarus the stages of grief from Kubler Ross. Denial, Martha and Mary. If you had come, Lord, Lazarus would not have died. Anger from the other Jews. Why did you not come sooner? You can heal a blind man, yet you did not come to heal this man. Bargaining. Martha says, I believe you have the power to do something, Lord. And even depression, even from Jesus as he wept. The mourners, family and friends, and Jesus, the teacher, are in deep grief and even in anger. Why did this happen? We called you 2 days ago. You could have been here. Why didn't you come? But Jesus was there to hear the cries of those assembled, and he was able to hear their lament. Jesus prayed, thanking God, his Father, for always hearing him, that the people would see and hear him pray. Then he commanded the stone to be rolled away, and Lazarus was raised. Now, for the second half of the story, we need to use our imaginations, which is also a gift from God, and it's not difficult for us. The people have been mourning the loss of a brother, friend, and neighbor, but now Jesus has called Lazarus, and Lazarus is alive. They are joyful. Lazarus is alive. Can you imagine that even though his sister pointed out that there would be a stench, can't you see that even Mary and Martha and Jesus and all of the neighbors would have been joyful at this time? Their lives had been so damaged, and yet when they questioned Jesus, now he has raised Lazarus. Can't you see Jesus so happy to see his friend and all of them happy to see their neighbor? And Jesus had even said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? As believers, this is our joy. We are given the story of the raising of Lazarus to demonstrate in a very tangible way that Jesus is indeed the life and the resurrection. He waited to come to Bethany, even though he could have been there in a matter of a day. Yet Jesus wanted to raise Lazarus from the dead to demonstrate to the people how much God loved them. And we can be pretty sure that the people all attended celebrated this miracle. Now in our lives, we know that Jesus raises us from the death of sin because he told us he will. As the people in the book of Lamentations did not know whether God was going to rebuild the temple. We know that Jesus came for us as well as for Lazarus and his family. The joy that comes from the acts of Christ in us and for us is what balances the lament we need to do in expressing our grief. The healing, as was done for Lazarus, can be done in us, as it is not just for those who have died in this earth. Whatever is waiting for us, Jesus has promised. But Jesus says later in the Gospel of John, "Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full." So let us be grateful. Let us step up and ask. The grace of God provided for us in the form of lament is also demonstrated in the life of Christ as the one who is truly the Savior of us all, the one who blesses us every day, even when we don't ask, is waiting for us not just for our daily bread as we pray each week, but also from the psalm, "Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." Jesus was sent to teach us about life in this world, but also about life in the next. He does wish to bless us with the things that make our lives good, the desires of our hearts. And isn't our greatest desire joy, love, and peace? So friends, I encourage you to be brave. I encourage you to search your hearts for which you truly desire, and that's what will bring you joy. Jesus is the resurrection and the life and the joy and the peace. Live your lives in the understanding that Jesus Christ is holy, and holy for us in our lament and joy. Amen.